And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's going on, everybody? It's opening week of the NHL season. Pete Jensen, Anna Dua, and Davey Satriano, our guest here, NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered, of course, by our good friends over at Skip. Anna, happy Canadian Thanksgiving. Nick took the day off here, but I guess this means hockey's back. What's up?
He did. He's probably ordering some Thanksgiving food from Skip, the official delivery app of the NHL. But happy Thanksgiving to you too, Pete. Just one more sleep until the NHL regular season. I'm so excited.
And we got Davey Satriano on as our guest. We haven't talked to you in a while, Davey. How was your summer, man? And what are you most excited for this NHL season, buddy?
Summer was great until I started going to some Mets games. Then it was not so great. Anna, happy holiday today, but tomorrow's a real holiday for all of us. So super excited that the season's finally here.
So we got the preseason in the books, right? Once and for all. And now we're going to have the first games with a three-game slate on Tuesday night. I think the headliner is Crosby against Bedard. That's going to be eye-opening for sure, no matter which way that goes. I'm also concerned a little bit about the Tampa Bay Lightning, guys, with the Vasilevsky injury. And now in that Atlantic division as well, Anna, there was a major injury development. Josh Norris for the Ottawa Senators out indefinitely. And we tweaked our goalie win projections and team projections for the standings as a result, right?
Absolutely. It's a pretty big blow for the Ottawa Senators. I was expecting Josh Norris to return rather quickly, and that would have solidified their top six. I had them making the postseason this year, Pete. I can't remember if you had them making the postseason as well, but now it kind of changes things for me because I had both the Florida teams out, which was a little bit bold, Tampa as well as the Florida Panthers. However, this injury news, I kind of regret maybe some of the decisions I made there.
You said had, so does that mean you made a little change there? You going with the Panthers after their cup final run? You going with back to the well with the Tampa Bay Lightning, who will probably be, let's be honest, pretty resilient, right, in the absence? They're going to be playing their butts off with Vasilevsky out, no matter who's in front of them, whether it's Jonas Johansson. There's also rumblings as of record time. Martin Jones got waived. We want to see where he's going to end up. Might go to the minors, might go to those Tampa Bay Lightning. It could happen.
That's what I think is probably going to happen, so keep an eye on that. But I don't know. I'm not going to lock it in yet. If I had to choose a team to sneak back in instead of Ottawa, I'd go with Tampa over Florida. Not sold on the Florida Panthers. You can chime in here too, Davey, this season. But it's tough. These injuries in the preseason are really ruining my predictions, and the season hasn't even started yet.
Very tough on the Panthers. I think the Ottawa Senators are still going to get in. Let's not forget, they still have Batherson, Giroux, Stützle, Tarasenko, Korpisalo, who they got, I think was a great goalie pickup for them. We saw how well he did after the trade to the Kings last year. As for the Lightning, I said to Pete last night, I think I said to you, Jones, he's a good appeal for Tampa Bay. But even if he doesn't go there, I feel like Vasilevsky is just going to get back quicker than the 8 weeks. I just feel like the way he is. But if not, it'll be tough for Tampa. I had them in before the injury. I think they'll still get in, but if you have to go 2 months, which is what, 20, you know, a quarter of the season with that one of the best goalies in the NHL, it's going to be really hard for them to get in.
And Anna, I know like all off season, you kept saying like, try to sneak in Shane Pinto at the end of the top 250 rankings. He's back in right after all the moving and shaking of the off season. He's back in near the bottom. What do you like most about this kid besides the fact that he had a 20 goal season as a rookie last year?
Yeah, without injury concerns, whenever he has played, it's been really impressive. And those 20 goals that he racked up were in a rather quick time span. So to start the year off last year, Shane Pinto was right up there among rookies. We're lucky to have a guest on this show, guys, right now, who knows Shane Pinto much better than I know Shane Pinto. So he can probably attest to this as well. But he showed flashes of being really great. I'm excited to see how he plays with maybe a little bit more playing time, because with these injuries so early on in someone's career, that's when you kind of lose how consistent they can be. But the Josh Norris injury maybe gives Shane Pinto a little bit more playing time in this Ottawa Senators forward group.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Anna, because I think you were there watching as my TV debut or YouTube debut, whatever it was, interviewing our good pal from Long Island, Shane Pinto, when he came to the NHL studio. We opened cards. We talked about everything. You know, he started off great. He was probably a Calder favorite the first quarter of the season, and then it kind of, the offense kind of dipped there. But had the contract thing this offseason. And as you said, now with the injury, maybe I think he still scored 20 goals. So now that he's got a chance here to play more up in the lineup, perhaps, I think we could see some good things from our good buddy this season.
And it'll be interesting, too. I know Norris didn't play last year for the most part, but Alex DeBrincat was there, remember, guys? And he had 30 power play points. So there's going to be a healthy amount of power play points up for grabs. Giroux already killed it last year. It could be one of the other defensemen. Remember, full season incoming, hopefully, if he stays healthy for Jacob Chychrun. Breakout potential for Jake Sanderson. Maybe Pinto gets a little power play look. There are a lot of cooks in the kitchen, but there's going to be a spot up for grabs. It's going to be fun to watch the first couple of games of the season.
I feel like the two teams we've paired together this offseason have consistently been the Ottawa Senators and the Buffalo Sabres. And I've kind of been in a toss-up situation of one of them making the postseason this year, both of them making the postseason this year. This Norris injury that just happened puts Buffalo ahead in my mind. And talking about some preseason standouts now, guys, someone who has impressed me so, so much and might be my MVP of the preseason has to be Zach Benson. Pete, you can chime in on this. I can see Pete smiling right now as I mentioned this kid's name, but what a preseason performance for him. I don't think anyone expected him to make Buffalo's team this year, but the way he's played so far, is this a player that you're keeping an eye on as early as this season?
Definitely. I feel like he's already kind of like gone ahead in the pecking order of guys like Dylan Cousins, fresh off his amazing season last year in the fantasy rankings, and even a guy I've been high on, JJ Paterka. And there are other guys like in the mix. I know Savoy has that injury in the preseason. I wouldn't rule him out of contributing to the lineup if he makes the team now or is called up at some point. But I mean, this is Zach Benson's world and we're living in it. And he has had an amazing preseason, 4 goals in 6 games, something like that. And he's playing with Tage Thompson. He's lightning in a bottle. But going back to what you said, Anna, like when I saw him at the NHL draft, he was sitting up there with a big smile on his face. I have the picture. I'll post the picture later. I think he believed he was going to make this team, even with how loaded the group is, Davey. And curious to hear your thoughts. Goalie master, remember, that's what we call Davey. Is Devin Levi up to the challenge to put all the pieces together and get this team to the postseason where I believe they belong based on their talent?
Well, first of all, I had my 3rd of 3 drafts last night. This is really deep. There's 26 players on each team. I had Zach Benson, I was like, I'll be able to get this kid in the 20th round or something. No, he went in the 15th round or something. Eklund went. A lot of your sleeper guys and rookies who I read all those lists on NHL.com, a lot of them were taken. But I think you're right about Benson. With that offense, I think he's going to have a great season if he gets the shot. As for Levi, I drafted him in all 3 of my leagues. Pete, I'm that high on the kid. I think he's their answer in goal. I mean, I think he could honestly challenge Bedard for the rookie of the year, in my mind, a Calder trophy. I mean, I think he's going to get 25 wins, maybe even 30. He's what they needed. They have the offense now. They have the goalie as well.
I mean, talk about a vote of confidence, Anna. All 3 of his leagues, he made sure he got Devin Levi. That's tough to do. There might have been some reaches there, but hopefully he'll be worth your while there.
He's spending too much time with you, Pete. I think you've rubbed off on him a little bit too much, because not saying it's going to happen. I'm really excited about Devin Levi, but wow, that's a vote of confidence right there, Davey, because it can go one way or another for you.
Well, you know, I did get a couple of Carolina Hurricanes too. Like, I got Svechnikov because you can slot him into that IR right now. So, but Lee, I just think when it was up to me, I have Juuse Saros on one of the teams, so I took first, but yeah, I managed to get Levi on all 3 teams. Hopefully he rewards my faith in him.
So looking at line combinations in the preseason, Kaapo Kakko up top with Zibanejad. Are you guys taking any grain of salt with this? Or is this something that with the new coach, Peter Laviolette, he's prioritizing the young player and maybe could stick there for the whole season and finally deliver something like 25 plus goals? I mean, I'm not going to anoint him as a 30 goal scorer like anybody else in the industry just yet. But if he's up there for a full season, he will score 25, 30 goals.
I don't know how I really feel about the New York Rangers young guys right now. I'm not going to lie. It seems like a lot of them have been given a decent amount of chance to play in that top 6 role. It hasn't really worked for them. So they revert back to the kid line. And with how competitive the East is, I keep saying this time and time again, That's not the team I'm going to roll the dice on this year, guys. If there's a player in the New York Rangers who I look to pick up on my fantasy team, and I just did last night in a really, really big fantasy draft that I'm in with Pete as well, it's Blake Wheeler, because I feel like all of the attention is going to the people like Capo Caco, Lafreniere, when they're getting these opportunities to play with the big guys. However, I think Blake Wheeler's consistency is going to outplay all the kids on the New York Rangers this year. I just think their time to develop has maybe gone past. Sorry to friend of podcast, Johnny Lazarus.
You know, I agree with you. Wheeler, we know what he's done in Winnipeg. I think now it's kind of like, okay, maybe he's hitting, you know, the end of his career. He's not going to be a top line forward for them, but I do agree with you. I don't trust any of the kids, the new coach, the new system. I mean, I know it's preseason, but the Rangers really didn't look good. I saw them play live 2 games. I know they had a lot of line combos, a lot of stuff going on, but like, they really didn't look good. And I don't know, who knows what Laviolette's gonna do. I don't see it happening for Lafreniere or Kako this year. I saw they kept waiting and people were not drafting them, and I wasn't going to take them either, but yeah, I don't see 20 goals for him this season.
I do think it's cool, guys, that Panarin is playing up top as well with Zibanejad and Kako. So, like, that's a loaded first line. I don't know if that's good for the state of the team necessarily, but could certainly yield some fantasy dividends. Also wanted to look at the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, sounds like Mikko Rantanen's a little banged up with a lower body injury. We've been talking at length about Jonathan Drouin being up there, but regardless, that line may very well not stick for the whole season. And you could see other guys, like one guy I really like, Arturi Lehkonen. Wherever this guy's playing, ever since he put on the Avalanche burgundy, this guy has been awesome. He's been a completely different player and in a top flight role compared to what he was in Montreal earlier in his career. Also, Val Nichushkin, like, people forget about this guy, but he is in training camp and he is in the lineup and a very dynamic player in all facets of the game.
I think people forget oftentimes how good Lehkonen was in clutch moments for the Canadiens during the postseason. And when you see flashes like that from someone, even if they aren't playing on a solid team throughout the regular season, you know that they have that potential to take the next step. So I really like that. And in our fan questions presented by Skip, a lot of people talked about Drouin. So I feel like he's the big name this year for the Colorado Avalanche. This is like make it or break it for him. If he doesn't make it on this team, I'm never even like giving him a glance again in fantasy. However, I'm still a little bit dubious. I'm not that sold on him yet. Just based off of last year, maybe it's recency bias, Davey, and you can attest to this as well. I don't know. It scares me to pick this guy up.
Well, here's a guy on the Avalanche you guys didn't mention. His name is Thomas Tatar, okay? He had 20 goals last season with the Devils. He wanted to re-sign with the Devils, but they didn't want to give him more than 1 year. So he went to free agency, and he signed with the Avalanche for 1 year. And when he was asked about it, he said, I really thought the market would be multi-years, and it wasn't. So, you know, once the Devils didn't offer me more than a year and the Avalanche offered me 1 year, I took it. I thought it was my best chance. He's a guy who can play up and down the lineup. He had almost, I think he had 48 points last year, 20 goals. So, you know, if they have injuries or if they need someone to step up, he's a guy that I would say to keep a radar, keep eyes on also.
And speaking of make it or break it, I mean, some really interesting roster developments involving this loaded rookie class, right? Stankoven sent down for the time being, a player I really like. Keep an eye on him. Keeper in Dynasty, I'd still stash him because I think he's going to get called up in a matter of time. All it'll take is one injury down in Texas. And then also some of these other guys, Leo Carlson, guys, made the team. We haven't even talked about him on this show at all since he was drafted number 2 overall, behind Bedard and ahead of Adam Fantilli. Is this bringing the Ducks up a notch a little bit and a potential surprise team, Leo Carlson, if he cracks the top 6?
No. The answer is no. The Anaheim Ducks is a team that I'm absolutely fading this year. I think it is a blessing in disguise for Adam Fantilli that he went to the Columbus Blue Jackets, because I'm so much more excited about their top 6 forward group than I am about the Anaheim Ducks. That's like the easiest question Pete has ever asked me on this podcast. Davey, you can chime in with your thoughts as well, but there's no rationale anyone can give me to monitor the Anaheim Ducks this year, guys.
I agree with your answer, Anna, but I will say the only rationale is one league I did, plus minus, isn't a category. So I had a couple of Blue Jackets. I didn't take any Ducks, but there was a thought there, like, okay, you know, some of these guys, especially on the Blue Jackets from last year, like, if plus minus is out the window, that really changes things. The Sharks, too, because they're going to have some guys at, like, negative 50 ratings. Let's just be honest. So most leagues have plus minus. You're right. I wouldn't I mean, the most points a Duck is going to get is what, like 60? When's the last time they had anyone score 70 points? If you like look back, it's just, it hasn't happened in like 10 years or so. I mean, they just don't have it. So I agree with you. I'd pretty much fade the Ducks.
So Zegras, we have projected for over 70 this year. So maybe that trend changes a little bit here. I will say with the young talent that they've assembled and a new coach, you know, I don't know what to say about John Gibson at this point in his career. Maybe he's past his prime a little bit, but offensively, if they're healthy, Zegras, Drysdale, they just re-signed both of them. McTavish, maybe he has a breakout season. Leo Carlson, and then the tried and true Troy Terry the past 2 years has been really strong point production wise and very consistent. That's a pretty nice first power play that could catch some teams by surprise, Anna.
It is, but I'm over talking about the Ducks right now, Pete. I got to shift over to a team that I actually think has a chance this year, and that's the Arizona Coyotes. I'm going to talk about them on every episode of this podcast this season, guys, so get ready. But one of our fans wrote in about a specific player who I'm also curious where you're taking him in drafts, Pete. Barrett Hayton, because Logan Cooley has stolen the show for the Arizona Coyotes this year. He's kind of like leading the charge. He's the biggest name. Everyone's talking about his preseason performance. And do you think there's a chance that he takes over that first line center role and is playing with Clayton Keller and Nick Schmaltz just to really reach his ceiling? And in that case, does Barrett Hayton completely fall off? Can he stand alone without his line mates? I don't know. So when I'm looking at him in drafts, he was a player on the waiver wire that I was targeting last year towards the end of the season. This year, I don't know where to take him or if I'm even looking at him, to be honest, over Cooley, Pete.
Everybody's just assuming that this guy is the odd man out because Cooley finally decided he wants to play for the Coyotes. That's great for the franchise. But look at the guy down the stretch last year that was thriving. And a big reason why Clayton Keller took that next step in his career, it was Barrett Hayton along with Nick Schmaltz. But again, this Coyotes offense is deeper than just one line. Even if you put him on that second line, he could be with guys like Michelli or Lawson Krause, 20-goal scorer, or Jason Zucker, Davey, who came over in the offseason. Remember, even their second pair defensemen will be guys like Moser, who a fan asked about today. Is he like a deep sleeper? Yes, I think he is. Matt Dumba joined the crew. Again, players want to play here now, and that's going to benefit Barrett Hayton, even if he's the 2C by association. They got a deeper team in Arizona than most people realize, Davey.
Yeah, I think you're right about this. I mean, I did watch them a fair amount last year. They're super exciting. You know, I don't have them in the playoffs, but I won't be surprised. I would like to see them get in. I wouldn't be surprised if they snuck in one of those wild cards. The players love playing for Coach Turingay, and, you know, I just feel like there's an air about them now, not only because of Cooley, but as you mentioned, they got some defense from, like, you know, Vejmelka. He's not bad. Like, his numbers aren't bad. It just... he's been playing a lot. I think his goals against was like over 3 and the save percentage was under 9. But like, I've been seeing him go like higher than he has been obviously last year. So some other people must feel like the Coyotes might put things together too. So I'm very excited to watch them. You know, a lot of the games will be on at 10 o'clock or whatnot. So I'll be staying up though. I'll tell you that.
You're the night owl, right?
Always. No sleep now. Next 6-7 months, not much sleep.
I'm an early morning girl. I guess that's why in our fantasy draft, I only drafted players from the Eastern Conference because I don't stay up past 9 to watch any of their games. But guys, I want to play a little game with both of you right now because we had some fans write in a bunch of would you rather questions. So I feel like that's a good way to tee us up for the regular season because a lot of people are debating between two specific players. And since we're talking about Logan Cooley, I'll ask you both, would you rather Logan Cooley or Marty Natchez from the Carolina Hurricanes, because we have Logan Cooley ranked right above him. And that's kind of a tough ranking position because Natchez had a breakout year last year, right, Davey?
I like Natchez a lot. I actually took him in one of my leagues. Like, he did kind of take, you know, the next step forward. So kind of looking at it, it's like, can he duplicate what he did last season? I think he can. I mean, no matter who he plays with, he's going to play with great line mates. He gets all the exposure. Like, he'll play on the power play. Like, I think this guy can get, you know, 70 points. I'm not saying a point per game, but for me, I think if I had a choice, I would take him over Cooley for this season. Dynasty leagues obviously go the other way, but for a one-year thing, I'm going Natchez. Love Carolina's offense. I mean, yeah, he's been great.
After 4 goals in 5 games for Logan Cooley, including the one in Arizona, in Australia, that was heard around the world, I think that, like, it's a slam dunk for me, Cooley over Nietzsche's. Nietzsche's has had a lot of career inconsistency. 1 year he's fantasy relevant, the next year he's not. Last year he had 70 plus points. This year Svechnikov's back and they got Bunting as well. So different guys are going to factor into their top six, and Nietzsche's at different points might be the odd man out, or, you know, could play a little center. I think he's going to play mostly wing, but it remains to be seen how they're going to sort out that top six. You know, I think, like, in general, like, the Hurricanes are just so deep, like Nick always says. So I think that, like, some of their fantasy value, other than Aho and Svechnikov, kind of gets drowned out. And then you just have a lot of, like, mid-level players. So I think the ceiling is much higher for Cooley. Like, Bedard might score 80 points this year and Cooley might score, you know, 70, 75. The ceiling's pretty high.
The ceiling is high. I don't know if he takes that next step this year, but question number two, and this is about goalies, so get ready, goalie master. This is an interesting one because I really feel like Carter Hart's flying underneath the radar because people have no hope in the Philadelphia Flyers, whereas I think the Philadelphia Flyers are going to do better this season than they did last season, and they aren't giving this group enough credit. I know they're trying to tear it down and rebuild, but some players on this team really excite me, and we've seen that Carter Hart has had potential. He just hasn't reached him. So Carter Hart or Akira Schmid. Davey, you go first.
Okay, so obviously Carter Hart's going to start most of the games, much more games than Schmid, unless there's an injury. I just feel like Hart, I know the team hasn't always been great around him, but he had one or one and a half good seasons, and then the numbers, like, just, they just haven't been great. I know your people are excited about the Flyers. Friend of the show, Pete Cam Atkinson, is going to be back this year playing, so there are guys who were injured last year also. But if I would not take Carter Hart as my number one goalie, you know, like, you'd have to get someone else before him. As far as Schmid goes, I do like him. He was, you know, we saw what he did in the playoffs, but it's going to be different in the regular season now that he's an actual, you know, a backup, because last year he was their third or kind of fourth goalie even to start the season. He could get, you know, 16 wins. We Devils have good offense, but if it were me, I'd say probably Carter Hart if it was like my, you know, second goalie. Or something, but I do like Schmid. I'm not doubting that he's going to have a good season, but he might only get like 16 starts or 20 starts. Carter Hart's going to get 60 games if he's healthy. He has something to prove, like you said. I mean, I'm not sure how the numbers are going to be, but hopefully, you said the Flyers, they've said they have something to prove. So, I mean, for me, I would take Hart as, you know, second goalie, not my first, though.
I'm fading Carter Hart. I like the skater group a little bit more than other people in Philly. Some of the other guys, Noah Cates, Owen Tippett's really good in bangers leagues that count hits and blocks and shots on goal and stuff like that. I think he's one of the most underrated players in that type of format. So make sure you roster him despite the team concerns in Philly. But yeah, I'd rather just have 20 games of Akira Schmid compared to 50 of Carter Hart, quality over quantity for me. And then Davey, while we have you, wanted to ask you about the Edmonton tandem. I've seen more questions about Jack Campbell bouncing back in the past week than maybe any other player. Do you feel like he might close the gap on Stuart Skinner in his second season? To me, this is Stuart Skinner's team and job to lose. But I guess if you're warming up to the idea of Campbell, you might target those guys. A lot of people have drafts still Monday night, Tuesday night, while these games are getting going. But, like, are you targeting the Edmonton tandem in fantasy, Campbell in late rounds?
So I'm not targeting them. I did get, stuck with Jack Campbell in one of my leagues just because I'm like, well, I mean, you know, he can get 20 wins. But for me, the only issue I have is because of the contract he signed, where it was like 5 years, $6 million a year, whatever it was, like, you know, that's a lot for a goalie. It's not like they're going to have this, like, I don't see a Bobrovsky situation where, you know, they're going to just sit him for a lot of the season. Skinner had, what, 29 or 28 wins something last season. So he was a Calder finalist. But I think they might actually go closer to, like, I don't want to say a split, but Campbell could get 30 games in. They obviously signed him for a number of years, so they want to see what – yeah, like, they're not putting him on waivers. No one's going to take the contract. So, like, they're kind of stuck with him, I feel. So I think that Campbell's going to, and he feels it himself too. Like, he knows he had a bad season last year after the contract. He's got to show up. If I were to draft one of them, I would make sure I had the tandem. That's for sure. Except, like I said, when I got stuck with Campbell, but I'm not really seeing it. But if you're going to take one, you need to take them both.
Guys, we keep talking about Jack Campbell all of a sudden. And sure, I guess he's a player to monitor. I agree with Pete that it's Stuart Skinner's team to lose. However, I'm just going to end on this note. I feel like the Carolina Hurricanes trio in net does not get enough attention. I would rather have Antti Raanta over Jack Campbell, honestly, this season, because he's performed way better last year and he's going to get starts. Kochetkov's going to get starts. Anderson's going to get starts. And all these guys have dropped so low in every single fantasy draft I've been in. And I think it's so unfair. I got Freddie Anderson, I think, in the 10th round of a 16-team draft, which is ridiculous. So put some respect on their name as well.
Wanted to mention there's one other rookie that we haven't mentioned all preseason that could actually be a major player for the Boston Bruins. Correct me if I'm wrong saying his name, Matthew Poitras, Boston Bruins. He's a center. Remember, Bergeron and Krejci both retired, so spots are up for grabs. He's competing with Pavel Zacha, who was a bust earlier in his career and had a glimmer of hope last year for fantasy managers. There's also Charlie Coyle in the mix. So if someone's going to bust out, maybe it's this kid. He did make the Bruins opening night roster, Davey.
You know, you think the Bruins, even with those two guys retiring, they still have an elite offense. Like, as you said, they have a couple of positions to fill. I think Zacha will take, you know, another step up from where he was last season, obviously. But this kid made the roster. Like you said, Boston, we know they got the offense. So, you know, if you're looking at the waiver wire or have an injury maybe, it's probably worth giving him a shot in the first week or something, I would say.
I'm sitting pretty on the Boston Bruins, I think. That's where I'm going. I have them second in the Atlantic in my projections, which seems like I'm high on the Bruins. Guys, I'm not. This team could just, like, drop, like, 50 points and still make the postseason from last year, which is why I have them still there. But I think it's going to be very close from the second position in the Atlantic all the way through the wild card spots in the East. So I think they're all going to be in the mix. I think Toronto versus everyone else in the Atlantic. Boston's still up there for me. I think they just have too consistent of a team and some star players that's going to carry them all year.
Couple of injury notes before we wrap. Jake Guentzel, game time decision for Tuesday against the Blackhawks. I mean, that's huge. We thought he was maybe going to miss 5 to 10 games. Could play on opening night. How about that? Rasmus Dahlin got his 8-year extension this morning, so that's pretty cool for the blue line of the Sabres for many, many years to come with Owen Power. Sam Bennett doubtful for opening night for the Panthers, so those injury concerns just keep piling up on top of Montour. And it seems like Matthew Tkachuk is okay, but you don't like to hear that Bennett, the number one center, is banged up. And then Jared Spurgeon injured week to week. Maybe that opens the door for Kalen Addison, who everybody forgets, Davey, led all rookie defensemen in power play points last year and has a lot of room for improvement as well.
Yeah, let me just give you three names real quick on the waiver wire. First of all, Joseph Woll, goalie, is going to be the backup for Toronto. That could help. Also, Ryan O'Reilly, he's only been drafted in 10% of leagues. Like, he had, what, 20 points in 24 games with the Leafs, Anna, I think, last year after the or when he was traded. Number one center there, power play. Like, I don't know why people are sleeping on him. And then the last one for me, Ekman Larson, Florida. We know they have the defensive issues, injuries to start the season. So those are three guys that I've looked at, not really drafted much. And they're on, you know, O'Reilly especially. I had an injury to a center. I picked him up. I'm like, I don't know, give the guy a shot. You know, he pretty much does everything, plays in all the situations. He's made for a city like Nashville. He loves the guitar, the music, number one center. 10% owned. I don't know.
We've given everyone possibly all the information they could want about waiver wire injuries and preseason everything. So, Pete, I'm ready for opening night right now. I want to talk about the three matchups we have to kick hockey off this season.
Let's do it. And want to tell people out there to play the Pepsi Zero Sugar NHL Goalie Challenge. You could set your picks right now. You pretty much go in there. You pick a team to win. It's a team goalie situation, so you don't have to worry about who's starting. Pick a team to win, pick a guy that's going to make the most saves, and the team goalie situation that is going to allow the fewest goals. So a really intriguing slate opening night. I am going with the Tampa Bay Lightning against the Predators. I think that they're going to win that game despite the Vasilevsky injury, whether it's Martin Jones playing, if he signs with the team, even if it's Jonas Johansson. I saw enough in the preseason for them to rally the troops there. I kind of like the save volume for Peter Mrazek. If he starts against the Penguins, Anna, you were talking all offseason long, right, that the Penguins have a ton of shots on goal per game. Wouldn't be surprised if Bedard caught them by surprise. All of a sudden, Peter Mrazek has a 35 save game in a win or a loss. It doesn't matter for that category. And then fewest goals probably going to come from that late game, Seattle, Vegas. Wouldn't be surprised if it was Aiden Hill. So Aiden Hill, despite winning the cup, guys, like, going to still have a lot of food to, prove his doubters wrong here. So I'll go with Vegas for the fewest goals allowed on opening night.
I like that take. I'll just ramble off my winners as well, since Pete gave you all the info you could possibly need. I have Tampa winning, I have Pittsburgh winning, and then I have Vegas winning as well. So target the goalie tandems from any of those teams.
All the home teams. What do you think, Davey?
I think Lightning win, Penguins win. I'm actually going with the Kraken to win here, and I know a lot of people aren't. You just see, like, after the cup raising, always it seems like there's been a lot of clunkers. Remember the Lightning, like, got, it was like 7-2 when they raised their banner. Yep. Like Colorado, I think last year they did play well, but they were playing Chicago. But like, I just feel like all that emotion, they just got their rings last night. They look beautiful. I just feel like they're going to get a clunker, and I feel like Seattle's going to win that game. I'll take Saros or the Nashville tandem with the most saves for Nashville in the three matchups.
So, Davey, thanks so much for joining us. Looking forward to all the coverage on NHL.com all season long. You're one of the hardest workers in the group, man. It's great to hear your thoughts before opening night. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'll just say Dallas Stars over New Jersey Devils Stanley Cup final pick. There it is.
So again, that was Davey Satriano, the New Jersey Devils pick. He had the guts to go with his hometown team. That's an interesting one. I think I could see them making the final four, but I just don't know that they're going to actually make the final, let alone win it all. So gutsy pick there by Davey, Anna.
I think the New Jersey Devils are going to have a really great regular season. I could see them maybe even finishing top three in the NHL in points. However, I don't think they have the postseason experience or pedigree to get them over the hump this year. But maybe in the next couple of years, I'll give Davey some optimism here.
So again, when you play the Pepsi Zero Sugar NHL Goalie Challenge, which is available on NHL.com/fantasy, you don't have to pick between Vitek Vanacek and Akira Schmid, right? You can pick the team goalie situation to hit on any of those three categories, goals allowed, saves, or a victory for the Tuesday night slates. It's once a week, so it's pretty easy to play, Anna. And we have a Fantasy on Ice League. The code is 3X0YT4. So sign up and put your picks to the test against not only me and you, Anna, but also Davey. He's going to be doing it all season.
Yeah, he claims to be the goalie master, so it's going to be hilarious if one of you guys can beat him in the standings.
So we'll be back on Thursday. Nick Albergo will rejoin us. We're really looking forward to that. We'll have a couple of games to digest from Tuesday and Wednesday slates. Remember, for season-long leagues, sign up for Yahoo Fantasy and season preview episodes. Go back and listen to them. We have so many of them. The betting show was great last week with Michael Leboff. Bold predictions. If you have your draft on Monday or Tuesday, listen to those all day to get equipped for your big decisions. And thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered, of course, by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.